Train Talk Radio, episode number 2.
Live from the La Mesa Model Railroad Club, it's Train Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jared Black. Join me and my co-host, Austin McAdams, as we discuss in-depth topics related to HO scale trains and the prototypes.
Well, hello everyone, and we are, in fact, back at the La Mesa Model Railroad Club, which we were at last week, correct?
That's
and
me.
I am here with Austin, and I just want to thank the few of you who have actually subscribed to us on iTunes, and hopefully those of you watching YouTube will subscribe if you have an iTunes account. I don't even think you need an iTunes account to subscribe. I don't know.
I can't see a book myself.
Are you subscribed to this?
I'm not. I will tonight.
And we're not only just us two here, but we're also with Travis.
Which we've mentioned before.
Uh-huh. And he is actually calling in from Idaho. Yeah, I'm just kidding. He's definitely. Right here. We had a third mic, but it didn't really work. So he's just talking into a phone. Now, New Year's is still a ways away, but I have a resolution right now, and that's not to say, like I said, like 50,000 times in the last podcast.
And I will talk more than I did
Austin,
last time.
Austin is actually much smarter than me about all this stuff.
I wouldn't say much smarter, as I've just,
his name,
I devoted more time.
His name should actually be the first one on this podcast.
I would,
show.
No, see, I'm the reference guy. You're like the guy who loves audio and talk shows.
Yeah.
So...
Well, we have a few topics we actually want to go over today, and we kind of want to bring things up from last week again. I said, again. That's great.
That's okay.
I'll edit that out. Tier 4. Okay. That's our first topic on the list, which I am sure that many of you are familiar with the two major locomotive manufacturers here in the U.S., which is GE and EMD.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually owned by Caterpillar now. As somebody knows.
Caterpillar. So if you have a tractor of some kind, or Caterpillar equipment.
Bobcat, something, yeah.
So you might have that engine in it. So, no, I'm not going to say that again. I'm not going to say it again. We're going to talk about GE.
Okay. Well, you know, as some of you may have heard or may have not heard, EMD has actually dropped out of the market for the next 3 years. And I will have Travis elaborate on that.
Yeah, so EMD was originally owned by GM, and for the past 40-something years or something, 50 years, however long it's been since the FT, they've been using the series where they go 5, 6, 7, and they're in the 710 series right now. And mm-hmm.
That's the engine, right?
Yeah, the engine
the
model.
710.
Yeah.
Because there's the... What was the first
567.
One? 567.
567,
then 645,
and then 710.
710. And there's different variations, like
right.
Especially the early ones, turbocharged.
Well, you think, you know, the first engine to have a 710 was the early SU70s
mm-hmm.
yeah. and 60Ms.
The 60Ms, right. yeah.
And now they're up to the 710 G3, which is the ACE.
And are these are much less fuel efficient than the modern day GEVO, right?
Well, the ACE has about the same fuel efficiency, more or less.
Right. How did they achieve that? Did they tweak the design of the 710 or?
Yeah, it's just been little tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
But the 710 and all those are all GM motors, mm-hmm. Made by GM. And when Caterpillar bought them, they just kept the GM design. But now that Tier 4 is around the corner and Caterpillar owns EMD, they're dropping out and they're going to totally redesign the next locomotive to be able to be using a Caterpillar motor. So
are they going to compete with the next GEVO release?
They won't be competing. They're dropping out until, I think, 2017, so you won't mm-hmm. see anything from EMD until then. And it'll be a totally different motor. Probably will have a totally different sound.
Do you think this will greatly affect the market, like as in locomotive orders?
Yeah, GE's going to be swamped. They're going to be the only freight locomotive available for the first few years.
And I don't know how are they going to drive up the prices of their locomotives or probably keep them the same?
I don't know. They'll probably keep them around the same.
Because they don't have any competition now. I mean, they have the smaller locomotive manufacturers like the Genset where they rebuild and everything, but they won't have those road locomotives, the standard ones.
I don't think it would be a good idea. They're probably not going to price it up because once EMD does release their engine, then it would be everybody would swamp back to EMD. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to keep it around the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, elaborating on that GE EMD, you know, you think about it, when you think of GE, you think of BNSF out
right.
in the West Coast because, you know, down here in San Diego, all we see is GE.
Right.
You know, especially GEVOs.
It is rare. I just wanted to say, it's rare to see any kind of EMD locomotive down here in San Diego. It's kind of even rare to see a Dash 9 now.
Down here, yes.
Yeah, a few come by every so often, but and they bring the GP60s M's down for the switching and everything. Right. Maybe an SD40 Dash 2.
Just, you know, I think it just depends, yeah.
Yeah, but mostly it's, and you see the ES44 DC 7700 class.
And you've seen a couple of C4s, of course.
Yeah, and you've seen the newer ES44 DCs, what are they,
7800
yeah. series. You've seen a few C4s down here, but they're mainly kept up.
Well, they're used for the mountain districts, you know.
Right.
They were made for Tehachapi.
They're used in Tehachapi, which is, if for those of you who didn't listen to the first episode, we are actually at the La Mesa Model Railroad Club Tehachapi exhibit here in the San Diego Model Railroad Museum in Balboa Park. I don't know if I mentioned that at the top of the episode.
I think you did, yes.
But I think I just said, I don't remember. But I'm just, that's where we are. We have an HO scale layout down here, one of the finest around. But like I was going to say, they're mainly used in the Tehachapi subdivision, right?
Right.
And through Cone Pass out of the LA Basin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last episode, we already told you all about how there's two axles that are not powered on the C4s.
Right.
But would you see that as a trend that other railroads besides BNSF are going to take up?
I doubt it. You know, it was kind of a bucket's an idea to do that, mm-hmm. so.
Well, Far East Coast Railroad is ordering a couple of them, C4s for themselves.
But I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else is really going to go for it. It's just sort of like a weird BNSF thing.
Well, you know, FEC is kind of, you know, 40 East Coast, as you may know. They're kind of trying to become a better and rival, you know, in Florida. But I honestly feel like they're trying to become like a miniature KCS and it just won't catch on.
Right. But, so, you know, I see EMD as kind of, unless they come back big and strong, I see them as kind of petering out.
Yeah, well, they're trying, they realize that they can't really compete with GE as much.
Right.
And that's why they're developing all the Tier 4 technology into something to replace the F-59 PHI.
Right.
Trying to bring back the passenger service and everything, and then sort of work on freight as a secondary thing.
The thing was, the F-40 PH, I'm kind of going back a bit, they were the main locomotive during the 80s and the 90s, right?
Early 90s, yes.
Then the problem came when, I think they're too tall to fit into New York, right?
Yeah, they're too tall, and then they were getting older, so they were
right. So, I mean, you see them like the variations of the F-40 PH on these commuter railroads back east and such, but the main locomotive that's used right now is the Genesis models.
P-42, yeah. Right?
P-42
which came out in 93.
And back east, the P-32 AC.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have the P-40, which is kind of a rarity, but they're still around.
They're still around, but the P-42 has been the workhorse of Amtrak for a number of years
now. And Via Rail, too, up in Canada.
But I see them as, a lot of people have said that they're not too reliable.
Yeah, I've heard that from an engineer standpoint, is they tend to break down. You know, you will occasionally see a foreign unit to Amtrak on their, you know, Southwest Chief, Coast, whatever.
Freight locomotive.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting if they go back to passenger EMD and they come out with a locomotive Amtrak wants and some of these other big commuter railroads want.
Right.
I could see them making a comeback.
Well, if they could get a new engine to Metrolink. I mean, Metrolink is, you know, they're a pretty big railroad out here in Southern California, and their main engine is their F9 PHs and F9 PHIs.
They've been, what are the new ones? It's made in
the
Boise.
The MP36.
Yeah. They have the MP40s. I don't think Metrolink has.
They have 36s.
36. Yeah. The other railroads have the MP40.
Right.
These locomotives, oh gosh, they're homely. They look like some kind of beetle when you look at them with the headlights.
Well,
everything.
It's kind of like a P42 mid F59.
I feel like they kind of copied the design of the F59 PHI.
And they kind of took the longer body of the P40.
I don't know if they're fiberglass on those ones, but the fiberglass nose.
Right,
it's actually on the F-59 PHI, but it kind of looks like that, only it's a bit longer.
It's kind of like a bless your heart kind of engine.
But I heard they're reliable.
Yes, and the cab I hear is pretty nice as well.
Mm-hmm. Now this locomotive manufacturing company, I don't know the name of it, that makes these locomotives. It's like, I want to say
True Line Trains.
Well, that's the HO model.
In real life,
it's like some.
It's a rebuild company, I want to say.
Yeah. They make a lot of the gen sets and such
right.
out of these older road switcher Speaking of F59s, there is an HO scale one right now, right in front of us. You can see the one on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can see on YouTube, it's right in front of us right now. It's slowly dying, and how about we not give it a push so it doesn't make any more racket?
So this is actually a Surfliner paint scheme.
Yeah.
As you may know, it's one of the biggest commuter routes between LA and San Diego, which mm-hmm. is our area. The Surfliner paint scheme was actually made in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, I used to use the F47 fleets. So.
Right. But it's just weird, though, when I look at the locomotive. It's just, how did they come up with such a design like this?
Well, it's supposed to be wind deflectant.
Right.
To push the wind over there. And it's actually, they made it so tall because it's the same height as the Surfliner cars.
Uh-huh.
Because then the wind isn't going to be hit the Surfliner car. You know, if you think about it, of P-42, it's substantially lower.
Mm-hmm.
And that the wind will go over the P-42, but it's going to smack right into the car.
Well, I don't think he's going to... I'm just going to give it a push. Should I give it a push? Yeah. Okay, so hopefully it goes away now. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's just so happy with that tsunami sound in it.
Yeah.
That's a... What is that, 710?
710, yeah. It's kind of correct. The F9 PH, or PHI, had a kind of distinctive 710. But for the average user, it's a fine decoder.
Is it kind of like the F40 PHs where they would always be, because they have the head-end power, they'd be like running really
high? Well, the F40s before HEP would run in notch 8
to
provide light power. F59s and P42s, as well as Dash 8s, have HEP.
Yeah, so
they don't have to run them in notch 8. Some people hear the HEP and think it's notch 8, though.
Yeah.
So
they have a kind of that distinctive sound to them. So let's move on to our next topic. What have we not talked about yet?
How about foreign power?
Foreign power. That's a good one. We've kind of, me and Austin have had some differences about the exact ratio of foreign power.
Right.
I should say, and I kind of have, come back on my case of it because the main place I've actually seen trains. I don't go to Tatchby that much, but I've seen them in Cone Pass, and you see a lot of these. You see a lot of these Gevos, the straight BNSF Gevos going in and out of the LA Basin. And the reason for that is of the admissions standards in the LA Basin.
Right.
Which requires them to actually have certain admission, standards for what they can actually admit from the exhaust of the locomotive.
Technically, they cannot have any engine lower than a Dash 9 or 70 Mach or 70 series. But, you will occasionally see a 60 or Dash 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
and a lot of these trains, it's just the solid, Heritage 3 paint scheme.
Right.
And maybe some Heritage 2 every so often.
Well, Dash 9s are pretty much all H2, so.
Yeah.
Right.
H1s and
there's any Dash 9 you see in Cone Pass is probably going to be H2 except for there's a number of the original Santa Fe ones
and H1s as well.
Yeah, the H1s.
Yeah. Well, back to your foreign power statement. I mean, in the ratio, I think an average ratio, if you took maybe the took all the days, let's say of a week, and average, you probably be at like one foreign unit for every maybe four or five BNSF units.
Yeah.
Just kind of depends, on the day you go.
I mean, you said, because we kind of want to replicate an average day over Tehachapi here at the club in HO scale, and the ratio of foreign power, I'd say, would be below 50%.
Yeah, I'd say it depends. Whenever I've gone up there, I've seen all sorts of crazy trains in one day. It really just depends on the era. Like, modern day, since they're so short on power, all the trains you're going to see are just covered with foreign power because they're desperate for it. But if you model a year or two ago, then you're going to not see as much foreign power.
It also depends on the railroad.
Yeah. Right.
UP, it's rare to see it. You might see, CSX or NS. You never see BNSF, though. And also, it's going to depend on the train. If it's a cross-country BNSF train coming from Chicago or somewhere in that area, you're going to see more foreign power. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's a manifest out of Barstow to Bakersfield, it might be kind of a rarity.
So at least here, what would you say, how often should we have foreign power in the consist?
Just probably depends on the train and, what we're feeling. If you want to do an average day, I think it's all going to depend also is if we have enough power. If we're power short, foreign power it is.
I know that it's going to be the first few ops we're going to be kind of close to what our main goal is, but you know, with the op, how we actually want to replicate a day in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's going to be kind of hard to get to the exact ratio with the amount of power that we have and the amount of trains we have to send out.
We're probably just going to pick a day, maybe, you know, we've recorded or whatnot and go from there. I mean, if we can find enough power as far as being a staff, you know, because I mean, really, you don't want to be power short,
right?
You know, if you can, you want to have extra units as backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, if we just put one foreign power, maybe for every five or maybe even four. Yeah.
That would be fine.
Exactly.
Because in years past, I've seen, you know, foreign power going out on almost every consist.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
Because they'd be so short on power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd see stuff maybe from the 80s.
Yeah, it just kind of
stuff
depends.
Stuff that didn't... I think we talked about the Red Seals last week.
Right.
And yeah.
There's still going to be a few in the setup, right?
Yeah. Of course, you know, and there are some people that don't even like Yellow Seal.
Right.
You know, and I've seen Red Seal even in modern day, you know, to present day today.
Yeah, there's a few locomotives out there. So on our stance in, if you're a viewer or a listener, why don't you just say, if you have a lot of experience, I don't know what that bell is.
That was so random.
That was really random. I've never heard that before in my time here, and I've been here since 2008. I don't know. Okay. I'm assuming that's the plywood train thing they have over there.
Yeah, somebody probably
is.
Right. Yeah.
That's an interesting bell. Okay, so we've talked about foreign power. So if, like I said, if you're a listener or a viewer, why don't you just say how much foreign power you think we should have for Dash B, and we'll consider that. We'll see what we get. Anyway, we were going to talk about the big boy update, and our man Travis here is the unofficial head of the...
Our vocal heritage correspondent, yes.
Yeah, I'm the heritage correspondent.
Unofficial, of course, so UP people out there, don't be all freaked out.
So I've been pretty interested in the big boy. I followed it from when they pulled it out in Pomona to West Colton, then I followed it from West Colton all the way to the border of California. And then it sort of dropped off the face of the planet once it got to Cheyenne and got put in that roundhouse. And what they've been doing is they've been remodeling the steam shop. The steam shop...
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
It was in, like, really, really crummy condition.
Yeah, it was designed for supporting more of the diesels and the smaller steam engines, like the FEF, than supporting a monster like the Big Boy. So they've pretty much rebuilt the entire steam shop, and they're currently retrofitting it. So I think they're having all the bays so they can get under the locomotive right now. They're adding overhead.
I've kind of heard, like, a lot of negative feedback from people about the steam program in recent years.
Yeah.
How they've gone from two operational steam locomotives that they have, you know, ready to run whenever they want.
Yeah.
To what is it, just the 844, is it down still?
The 844 is still down. But
and the 3985, they claim they're not even touching till they got this the big boy done.
Which is 5 to 7 years away. The 3985 has a bad boiler.
So, I mean, it's been a lot of talk about the leadership.
Yeah, people are saying that the new guy, Ed Dickens, is to blame, which I think maybe because he's new, but not necessarily just him, because this is old equipment from 100 years ago,
right.
And they do run it all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
So it is going to go bad, and when it goes bad, as these engines get older, it's going to be harder to replace the parts.
But I mean, this is UP, it's not like some small volunteer organization, it's... Don't they have enough money to do this if they really want to?
Yeah, they do, but you have to machine the parts, which takes a while.
And can't they like expand their steam crew and get more people on this so they can be making a lot more progress?
Well, think about it from the UP standpoint. UP is a for-profit corporation focusing on the freight traffic, and they're just getting on their feet after the economic recession.
Right.
They don't really want to pour a lot of money into just a little PR thing, which is what the steam program is.
Well, hopefully in the next few years, we'll see some progress.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll get it running pretty soon in the next...
5 to 7 years.
To 7 years?
Yeah, right now they've removed all the little components they could, and they're investigating with those, and they're getting ready to pull the boiler apart right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
So when they're done, is there like a goal or plan for how they're going to use the 4014?
Their first plan is to take it to the Golden Spike Ceremony in... I forgot where it is.
Promontory.
Yeah, Promontory.
Because they actually, the main line does not run through the actual spot.
They're going to go as close as they can.
Which is, do you know how far?
When they went around it, they went through Salt Lake. So
yeah, I think it's only a few miles away. Because I know they have the operational replicas there, which doesn't make any sense to me why you'd have two operational steam locomotives and just pull them together, just sit them there. It's like,
I think it's like a spur off the main line, so I think they might be able to pull it straight up in there, but I could be wrong.
They might. I think it's separate.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's separate.
I forgot where I learned that. But after they do that, they're planning to take it where it came from, where it's Pomona.
Pomona.
And they're going to let anyone who's a member of the Steam Giants ride on it. And so it'll be pretty cool to see it down here in California again.
Well, hopefully we can look forward to that. Do you have something to say, Austin?
Yeah, one more thing is, quick question for our viewers. Are there any plans for a Heritage Special or to Hatchby?
Oh, I'd love that.
No.
Okay, then.
You can't really plan that out.
I'd like to see 3751 go over to Hatchby again.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
It's been a few years.
It's been
since the 90s.
It hasn't been done in San Diego in a while, has it?
It has not. It's been there three times, and the last time was...
2012, I want to say?
Yeah, it was 12. It was 2012.
There's been rumor that they wanted to do another one this year, but that never happened.
I was talking to the guy, one of the people who work on it, and they're saying that Maxwell Lincoln and BNSF are going to be doing track work for where they usually run it out to San Bernardino. So next year they have to run it to San Diego, and that's their plan currently, is to run it down to San Diego.
Well, that should be interesting. We'll definitely cover that on my YouTube channel, at least. I don't know about you guys, but...
You know, I'm not too big into heritage stuff.
Well, it's a steam locomotive, and it's here in San Diego. I mean, you don't often... Well, there's, you know, the little ones, you know, up in Poway and stuff like that. But it's not often... Actually, you never see a standard gauge one under steam except the 3751 here.
Mm-hmm.
They had the... Back in like 88, I think they brought some Campo stuff out, but
yes,
yeah. that was way too long ago, and now they don't run any steam.
No.
And their dreams are
well,
very
you know,
far
steam's
away.
Kind of an old tradition, you know, unless you know how to, you know, fix up a steam engine, you don't know how, there's no real, you know, easy way to do it.
Right.
So,
there's
a
lot of maintenance.
You know, diesel engines, you have one ace, you have parts for another one, you know, because you can buy them in bulk, but these steam engines, like the big boy from 60 years ago, unless you know what you're doing, you're just going to be kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Well, I think that should conclude our show this week. So I just, once again, want to thank everyone for listening.
And for Travis for guest starring.
Yeah. He's hopefully a big, you know, help to us. And I'm sorry we did not actually get him mic'd maybe next week. Or not next week. I don't know when. We're next
next time
show.
We do it.
So I want to thank everyone for listening, and that'll conclude our show.